Good morning. The G's Bend quilt makers are here. And when I go to Alabama and go down the Alabama River looking for G's Bend, I always get hung up at Lower Bend and Peachtree. And I never can find G's Bend. But in my heart, I see where it is.
Yeah.
And I have the G's Bend people with me this morning. And they are quilt makers and print makers. When I last talked to you, I don't think you were making prints, so we're going to hear about that and all what you're doing now. And so Nettie Young is here. Nettie, I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you.
And Mary Lee Bendolf.
Yes.
You're one of the Bendolf girls.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
I'm the senior.
Yes. And you were here last time.
Yes, ma'am.
I talked to G's Bend people.
Yes, ma'am.
And Matt Arnett is here, and he's sort
Hello.
Of a. Will you pronounce it again for me?
Matt Arnett.
Arnett, did I do it right?
You did.
And what do you do with the G's Bend people?
Oh, a lot of different things.
We
organized the exhibitions and published the books and continue to work as hard as we can to help get their word and their work across the country and help them spread their word.
Good. You've done a good job up to now, I think.
Well, we're proud of them and proud of the work that we've all done.
Well, I bet they appreciate you, too.
Oh, yes.
You push them around a little bit.
Very.
And we have two youngins. We have Louisiana Bendolf. Bendolf is a familiar name.
Yes, it is. Yes. How are you?
Bendolf are a lot of Bendolfs in G's Bend.
Quite a few. Yeah, quite a few.
Loretta Bennett is also here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm so glad to see you all. And did you have a good trip, all?
Oh yes.
Yes, we did.
That's good. Okay, let's find out a little bit about what's going on, and. What I would like to do is to find out how the quilts and prints are on display in the Liz Leach Gallery. What are we going to see there this year? Because you've been here 3 years, haven't you? Are you still quilting?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you have enlarged your contributions to the world. With prints.
Yes.
Tell us how you decided to make prints.
Well, Matt just asked us, could we make some prints? And I told him, I don't know, I'll try. Mm-hmm. And so when we went to California to try, we just...
You went to California?
Yeah, that's where we made them, in California.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And how many prints are in this show at the Liz Leach Gallery?
Two, I think.
They were hanging it when we were there.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure.
Finished.
I think in this show there's three, four, or five prints in the exhibition, though I know Elizabeth has more that aren't on view.
I see. And do you still gather at and have quilting bees?
No, not right now. We haven't started the quilting bee yet a while.
You got famous, didn't you?
Yes.
How does it feel to be so well known and everybody clamoring for your attention?
It feels good to me. I like it.
I love it.
You love it?
Yes, I do. I love it because I thought it wouldn't have ever been.
That's good because for so many years you were sort of hidden away, weren't you?
Yes.
And G's Bend is in a place in the USA that is very private, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
And this is caused by the river and the nature of the flow of the river, isn't it?
Yes.
Has tucked you away.
Yes, only one way in, but we got another way out now with the ferry being there.
Now, you were... telling me before we were on the radio, you were telling me about your contribution to the G's Bend prints. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Loretta Bennett and Louisiana Bendolf? What do you do?
Well, I go first as a
sure. You can okay. Fight it out.
Yeah, we'll fight it out over here, but no, I won't. Okay. We don't need to do that. Anyway, I started last year. I was invited to come out to Paulson Press to make some small marquettes. And we turned those, a smaller size quilt, and we turned it into a print. And so I really enjoyed it. At first, it was a little scary trying to make them down to a small scale because we are so used to making them, you know, full size for a bed. So after seeing them, you know, coming out of the press, it's great. I enjoy making them almost as much as I do the quilts.
So you're an artist at heart. And I think that G's Bend quilts have been related to visually to some of the great artists of the world. And in G's Bend, it just comes naturally, doesn't it?
Yes, I guess it's something in the water.
Well, you don't just grab an old shirt and tear it up now and use it in a quilt, do you? Or do you?
Yes, I do.
You do. Do all of you, Louisiana Bendoff.
Yes.
A lovely name.
Thank you.
How are you on quilt making? Do you save pieces of bright material and what have you?
Oh, seem like you've seen some of my quilts and print then, because I love bright fabric. Yes, I love making my quilt with bright fabric. I like the colors.
Okay, good. And other ladies, Nettie Young and Mary Lee Bendoff, what is your contribution to the quilt making day or days, as it were? What do you do?
Well, I made quilts from my childhood, from my mother, and I love making quilts. I still, at 90 years old, make a quilt.
Are you 90 years old?
Yes, I'm 90 years old.
You're very spry,
and
your brain is working well.
Thank you.
Better than the rest of us.
Yes. And so you really know the whole history of this, don't you? And were your people black slaves?
Yes,
in the early, all your people were. Tell me all of the history of
G's Bend. First parents was slave. Mm-hmm. All of us were slave till Martin Luther King came through anyway. We got to be free after we came to be registered voters than we ever had been.
I see. And you were released. When were you released from the families that you were working for?
Well,
relatives.
I got away from the family I was working for in 55.
Okay.
He opened the door for us to could buy a place of our own. And that's when I got rid of us call them the landlord. That's when we got rid of the landlord in 55.
In 55.
Right.
When, you know, we all know that slavery officially ended in the 1860s, but in places like G's Bend and other places in the rural South, as Mrs. Young was saying, slavery didn't end for them until Martin Luther King came. So even though slavery was officially over, the conditions they lived in, tenant farming and sharecropping was very similar to what the stories they had heard about slavery. You know, you worked for somebody else on their land, and at the end of the year, you settled up. And as is so often the story, you would always come up one bale of cotton short every year, so you could never get out of debt. So you would work the next year trying to get out of debt. And it really wasn't until, as Miss Young said, for her, the 50s, that she was able to buy her own home. They bought their own house. And then in a few years later, Martin Luther King came and told them about registering to vote and civil rights. And they heeded his advice and went to try to register to vote and became, as they would say, finally free.
I see. Well, during this time that you were working for as a slave person in your people were, did you were you always making quilts as a joyous project?
From generation to generation, was making quilts in my family. And I think all the black families was making quilts, because that's the only way we could keep warm, by making quilts. Because our houses weren't like houses now. We were living in shacks.
Yes.
You could look through and see the sky. Chickens are walking on the ground. Oh. Hogs up under the house. And we used them quilts to spread all the cracks to keep the dust from coming up in the house.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the way us living.
And then I hear that, or I read that during the Depression, G's Bend people had a very difficult time, very difficult. People died of starvation, even, that they couldn't get enough to eat and so forth. Is this true?
I don't am a damn dying for starvation, because we ate out the woods, killing the rabbits, the squirrels, and making the crops. We grew our food, and that kept us from starving. But one year, I know came through the bend. The people liked to starve, because the landlord broke them up, got everything they had to live on, took everything they had to the down to the chickens and the hogs. They didn't have nothing left. And one family told me, they went and dug baits out the ground, ate locusts off the tree, them huckleberries and bushes for growing stuff, they ate off that. And they made it not starving. But that was close to it when you had to dig a bait out the ground, fry him for your meal, or boil him any way you could cook him for your meal. That closest he could come to starvation.
In the early 30s, which is what Ms. Young is talking about, cotton prices had plummeted from 40 or 50 cents a pound down to under a nickel a pound. And the family across the river, the store that had been at what they called advancing all of the supplies and seeds and tools, was stockpiling the cotton, waiting for the prices to go back up, and actually, you know, not making people pay the debt back because they realized that the cotton prices had fallen. And the gentleman that was doing that died, and his wife decided that, you know, times were tough for them too, and they weren't going to keep advancing and keep the debt rolling over until the cotton prices went back up. And she sent basically like armies over there, whites and blacks, and mule wagons and horses over with instructions to take everything that wasn't nailed down. And so the mule wagons just went through town and took everything they had grown, all of their tools, their pigs, their chickens, everything. I mean, everything, they claimed that everything that was there belonged to them because everybody was in debt to them. And this was in the early winter, and basically left everyone there to starve. Though, as Ms. Young was saying, they ate, you know, berries, and they ate whatever they could find. They, you know, dug around for grubs and anything they could eat. And then towards the end of that time, the Red Cross stepped in and provided some relief. And that's how they made it. That's how they made it through the winter, just cooking, you know, hunting and whatever they could find. And shortly after that, under Roosevelt, one of the New Deal projects, they bought 10,000 acres in G's Bend from the family that had owned that land and sold it back to the families at no interest and low interest loans. So for the first time, the people in that area owned their own property and weren't having to work, weren't under the fear of being pushed off their land by somebody else. They actually, for the first time, owned their own land and had some of their own fields, had some land in the woods that they could cut their own timber and build whatever they needed, and had a little garden plot attached to the house.
And you remember the results of this these times then, do you? Of course you do, mm-hmm. don't you? Mary Lee Bendoff
yes.
is part of that too, aren't you? Very much so.
No, those when I came times. Up, I didn't. I was in the hard time, but not that kind of
not
a
that
hard time.
Not that hard.
No, I wasn't.
Mary Lee was very born. Soft. Mary Lee was born. In the time in between when everything got seized and when the government bought the land, she was born actually right in the middle of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That happened in the early 30s is when they lost everything to the people that were advancing them. And in 37 is when the government project started, and Mary Lee was born in 1935. The hardest part that Miss Young lived through, Mary Lee's parents endured, but she was born right during that time.
Yes. Well, I must say that you look like you've thrived anyway. You're both looking so well.
Thank the Lord.
And I can see you surviving also because of your art. Was that a comfort and a relief to be doing art together around a table? Did you work in the church?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did.
And did you make the quilts in the church?
No.
No. Where did you make those, in people's homes?
Yes, in our uh-huh. home. Every yeah. person pieced his own quilt, their own top. But we would get together and quilt a quilt together, but everyone made his own top.
I see.
By himself.
Oh, okay.
That's
so
the way
there was
made the
an individual style for each person who was creating at that time. Well, it depended on a lot of where you could get the materials, too. And so you put together these magnificent quilts with the sort of secondhand materials.
That's right. We made our quilts out of anything yes. we could find in them days. You didn't have nothing but worn out clothes
uh-huh.
to make the quilts out. If you find a piece side the road, you are going to pick it up and carry that quilt piece home and wash it and put it in a quilt. You used everything in them days. You didn't throw away nothing.
This is why they had so much character. They have so much character.
Yes.
Because they show the patina of age and use. That's one of the reasons they're so beautiful, I think. Do they ever show bullet holes or the place where Johnny, blew his nose or something?
I think that, one of the beautiful things about G's Bend is that there wasn't, fortunately for them, there was a very unified community, and there wasn't. The times were hard, and Miss Young has said many times, we were poor, but we didn't know we were poor. And
yeah.
it seemed like, she says, everybody seemed happy, even though they, the times were hard. And but the quilts from that era, when you look at the quilts from the 30s or the 40s or the 50s, you can see, as somebody said, you can see into the place, because you can see the clothes people wore, and a lot of the quilts from that time period that were used do have, knee stains from where people were down on their knees or, blood from where babies were born. I mean, it's
great character.
It does. But I think interestingly, and one of the things that is so exciting, I think, about the prints, and even, we have Louisiana and Loretta Bennett, who are two of the youngest quilt makers who have kind of picked up the torch that Mary Lee and Nettie Young and so many of the other women lit, and their foreparents lit and carried, and they picked it up. The new quilts that are being made today by these four women and others, visually they're just as stunning. And one of the things that's so exciting, and I guess since we're in Portland, there's an exhibit that just, a museum exhibit, that just opened at the Tacoma Art Museum just up the road from here, that has a lot of the newer quilts. And people have been responding to the new quilts in much the same way. They're visually just as outstanding. And some of the younger women are making quilts that, you know, they learned from the great masters like Mary Lee and Nettie Young and are on their way to, not on their way, they're there. They're great masters themselves. And I think the prints that are at Elizabeth Leach Gallery, you know, show the great artistry. And they take, for some people who can't get past a quilt as a utilitarian object that goes on the bed, one of the things that was so obvious to the people who knew the women and studied their quilts is what great artists they were. And the working in a medium like paper and inks and all of that, which is, you know, people think of as more artistic. Obviously, it's a bias, I think, against the domestic arts and against, you know, the so-called craft and the work of women. And I think the quilts of G's Bend and now the prints have made it possible for people to reevaluate not just their quilts, but the work of women all over the country and all over the world, and give respect to something that for too long has not been respected. And I think that their quilts do that. You know, they're more than just, you know, badges of honor and a symbol of their community. They're really, and we've watched it as we've traveled around, they've really opened doors for artists of color and women artists all over the world.
All over the world. I was going to ask you that question. How does this feel to be so famous?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Ooh.
Good?
Yes, it feel good and also surreal. Not seem like we're
kind
dreaming.
Kind of surreal?
Yeah, surreal. Yeah.
Oh. Are you going to sing us a song?
Yes,
are we going to get
song.
A song?
I'll sing a song.
Because last time you simply blew the minds of all the people around KABU who heard you sing. It was beautiful. And all of a sudden you burst into song.
Yeah.
Let's have a little song if we can.
Do they have and gone, do ye nishe, o pi, o me, we all.
That's
one of those
and Nettie Young singing the song.
That's one of those old hymns, and that's one of the that was Mary Lee's mom's song. And as a matter of fact, when you were asking about the prints, one of the beautiful prints that Mary Lee made on her first trip to California, she named Mama's Song after that song she just sang. She dedicated it to her mom. It's a beautiful print.
Yeah, it was beautiful to listen to you again, you're just a treasure.
Thank
both
you.
Of you. I'm here with a bunch of treasures. Mm-hmm. Now, do you sing too, you girls, mm-hmm. young people?
No.
No.
No, we leave the singing up to them.
But you just produce prints like mad.
Yeah.
And what kind of paper are you using? Give us a little description of what you do to make a lovely print. What does it take? Have you got all the good paper and everything?
Well, for me, I got to start off with some clothes or fabric first, material for myself. That's how we get started. And then...
So you make clothes for yourself. And with your own prints? Or you take the printed fabric and make clothes with it?
No, I take old clothes from thrift stores. I like using old clothes like the past generation. I'm kind of different, and I like to use old pants and shirts and dresses.
Good.
So I like to start out with those first, and then
character
then
stuff.
We work our way up to making the prints from there. If they look, just,
they design it. They design the prints in cloth first.
I see.
And then they work with the printers, and they take, they use beeswax and copper plates, and they do they transfer the texture of the cloth onto a copper plate, which is covered in beeswax, and then they etch that in acid, and then. And then maybe one of them wants to talk about the process after that.
Share the process.
Share the process. Okay. Yeah. Well, like Matt said, they take beeswax, they put it on the copper, and then they roll it through the press. And then they take paint, and it's painted onto the copper. And once that's done, they will run it back through the press, and that gives the color onto the paper. And that was make the prints.
Okay.
I think that's the shorthand version. There's a lot.
Where's a lot? You know, you put it. You know,
there's a lot of steps in the middle, and it was a learning process.
Yeah.
In working with Paulson Press in Berkeley, they talk the women through the different steps, and some of the prints have. What they call spit bite, where the women work with acids and paint directly onto the plates.
Yes.
And then it's put back into the acids. And when you see the prints, a lot of them have a very watercolory, have a watercolor feel to them. And that's where they've painted the plates, painted acid directly onto the plates before it takes any ink. It's really it's a fascinating process, and the finished prints are they're really beautiful, and
yes, are we relate going to see the some of these, Matt?
Yeah, are Elizabeth
going to
has some.
Elizabeth Leach Gallery.
She has some of the new prints, I believe, that Louisiana and Loretta Bennett made.
Oh, wonderful! Okay, well, we'll look forward to seeing those, and. I'm so glad that you came this afternoon and that we've had this chance to talk. I'm sorry we can't talk a little bit more, but we're into pledge period here at KBOO, and we survive on the generosity of people out there in the community. And so we have to leave a little space for them. But I'm glad that you did come and fill this space. And next time we'll do it again.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bless you all.
We would love to help out. We're I don't know if it's appropriate if you guys can do this, but we'd love to send some copies of the documentary about them, maybe that you can use to raise the money for the station.
That
just let us know anything we can do.
Sure. That would be just fine. And we'll sell those to the people and put the money in our own coffers.
Excellent.
And it'll make us able to do this again more easily.
We hope so. We're all big supporters of public radio.
Good. Okay. Well, I'm glad you came. Loretta Bennett and Louisiana Randolph.
Bendolf.
Yes. I'm sorry. I would, in introducing you for a goodbye, I stumbled.
That's okay.
But I'm glad you're here, and you've made a lovely addition to this party of five.
Thank you.
Or six, including me. And then Mary Lee Bendolf.
Yes.
Mary Lee and Nettie Young.
Yes, the
Thanks
mother
so
of all.
Both of them, what?
The mother
of
all.
Of all.
Oh, are you the mother of both?
They call her the mother of all quilts.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She's the oldest of the living quilt makers in G's Bend. She's our spiritual mother.
And she's 90 years old.
Young.
90 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, bless you, my dear.
Thank you.
Bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Matt.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bringing these people over to KBOO this
afternoon. Our pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure for me. Here's to G's Bend, quilts, and people.
Thank you
so much. And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
Okay. You just look where he brought me from. You just look where he brought me from. Oh, he brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. You just look where he brought me from.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I wish you very good luck on your trips back and forth and all everything. And have a beautiful time while you're here. I hope the sun comes out a little bit while you're here, but I don't think
probably
it's going
will.
To. We live in a rainy part of the world here.
Yes, thank
but
you,
we have had a pretty dry summer until the day you came.
You brought your rain.
Thank you so much.
Does she want us to move? Does she need some help moving this table back?
No, she can get, there are a lot of helpers around. It'll will help her. Kathleen is... it's down behind the desk. This way, Jerry. This way.
Thank you.
Did we go over?
It's hard to tell. I can't. This one, you guys probably went on talking.
Mary Lee sang at the very end. She sang us out.
Because I, you know, there's. It looks like it's about 35 minutes. This one looks like 35 also. This is probably.